A good confession is the first condition for making a good retreat. Our present meditation is on the qualities of the Catholic lay apostolate. I cannot begin to tell you how important in the mind of the Church, and I was speaking especially in the mind of the Holy See, is the lay apostolate. And consequently, although first and necessarily, the lay apostolate means individuals who have a faith and have such love for Christ they want to extend his kingdom. But we are living not just as social beings, but living in a highly organized modern world. To achieve anything of any importance, lasting importance, there is need for coordinated effort. In other words, here, a group of lay associated people joined together by the great love for Christ. As usual, a series of questions. What is the first quality which lay apostolic associations should have? These associations are to promote a strong and intimate unity between the faith of their members and their everyday life. Let me repeat. These associations are to promote a strong and intimate unity between the faith of their members and their everyday life. What are we being told? We're being told that our faith must permeate the strongest word in the English language for a total penetration of our faith in everything that we do. In other words, the apostles must develop a deep understanding of the Catholic faith, both as individuals and as members of apostolic groups. We've come to the question of understanding our faith from the beginning of this retreat and until its end. Not to understand our faith is to risk losing it on the words of Jesus Christ. Either we understand and grow in our grasp of our faith, or Christ himself tells us the devil will steal, as he has stolen over the centuries from the souls of millions of once professed Catholics, stolen their faith. However, the one special focus of this understanding is not only on the what I believe, understanding the intelligibility, the meaning, what I believe. What a difference between two people, both of whom say believe in the real presence. One believes in the real presence. If you bless him, and he is in Christ present everywhere. I never tire repeating the Islamic syllogism of Martin Luther. The foundation of Protestantism is the loss of faith in the real presence by a Catholic priest called Martin Luther. A syllogism that I'm sure you've heard. God is everywhere. Who doubts it? Christ is God, as every Christian believes. Therefore, concluded Luther, Christ is everywhere. Just a minute, Martin, not so fast. Christ is present everywhere as God. Is Christ present everywhere as the God-man, as the incarnate God? No! The incarnate God is present only in heaven and on earth in the Holy Eucharist. But you better understand what you say when you say that Christ is present. However, the specific focus of understanding our faith as the primary quality for any association of the laity engaged in apostolic work is both to understand the what of their faith. What do I believe? What does it mean? But then to also understand how this faith is, to, I repeat the verb, permeate my life, so that everything I do, everything I say, everything I don't do or do not say, is an expression of my faith. And this, how we need to ask ourselves, and to really retreat, may I beg all of you to ask our Lord, Lord, teach me how I am to live my faith, how I am to put my faith into practice. Everything in our lives, and I mean everything, is somehow doing the expression of my faith. As we've said, and I repeat, our wills are blind faculties. They must be enlightened by the mind. But our minds possess the virtue of faith. We don't just have, shall I say, our naked reason. It is our reason enlightened by faith. Everything we do should, of course, be reasonable, rational. That's not enough. Everything we do should be directed, guided by our minds enlightened by the mind of God. You're told by the apostle, let his mind be in you, the mind that was in Jesus Christ. Next question. What is a model for these apostolic associations? All kinds of new associations of the laity must be formed. And once flourishing, strong groups of the laity have either compromised by becoming bewitched by the secularism of our day, or, well, they still meet. They still say some prayers. But as far as apostolic work goes, forget it. The answer, keeping in mind their apostolic character. Notice apostolic, being sent by Jesus Christ in virtue of our baptism. Keeping in mind their apostolic character, these associations should learn, hear it, learn from national and international secular institutions. One reason for this is the rapid evolution of modern society with corresponding development in its institutional structure. Catholics should profit from this development. Over the years of my priesthood, I have come to know enough people in business, sometimes in national, even international organizations. They tell me, we've got to constantly re-examine what we're doing, whether changes in society, changes in technology, are being incorporated into our, well, our corporate structure. In other words, there are many, obviously, organizations of the laity throughout the world, among believing Christians, and, in fact, among everyone who wants to run an organization, must think through how they're going to be organized. The Church is telling us, learn from those who are specialists in organizational structure. We need this. And is one reason why one's flourishing lay associations might just as well be dissolved. In the best sense of the word, they have not kept up as they should with the times. We continue. How much autonomy do lay associations of the faithful enjoy? A very important question. Here's the Church's answer. While preserving the necessary link with ecclesiastical authority. The laity have a right to establish and direct their own associations. For the first time in 2,000 years of the Church's history, these lay associations, we are told, have a corresponding right to join existing associations. This, what an important statement. This is one of the developments of the Catholic apostolate since the Second Vatican Council. Let me say more. Over the centuries, from apostolic times, as we know, the laity have been involved in their church's apostolate. As we mentioned, St. Paul had lay co-workers, both men and women, already in the first century of the Christian era. And over the centuries, they have developed a large variety of forms of the lay apostolate. However, until the Second Vatican Council, lay associations of the faithful were always under that preposition, is crucial. They were under the direct authority of the hierarchy. You might ask, are you telling us that's changed? Yes. For the first time in the 20 centuries of the Church's history, the Catholic Church not only allows, but encourages the formation of lay associations here. Lay associations with apostolic purpose. Of course, with the leave, with the allowance, the permission of the hierarchy. But they can be independent, both as to formation, as to structure, as to membership, and as to guidance, independent of the jurisdiction of the hierarchy. There is nothing I can share with you during these days of the retreat that on the practical level is more important. This does not mean, God forbid, that the lay associations work at odds with the hierarchy, in competition with the hierarchy. Well, there's a big difference between being under the jurisdiction of the hierarchy and having what the Church calls autonomy. And I speak as a member of the Society of Jesus, Saint Ignatius wanted to be sure that his society, always deferent to and respectful of the authority of the hierarchy in one diocese after another. But Ignatius wanted his society to be directly and immediately under the authority of only one juridical power, namely the Bishop of Rome. Of course, the more cooperative the bishop of a diocese is, the better for the association. And this is where all the gifts, both natural and infused gifts of the Holy Spirit, which you possess as a laity, working in organizations, has no doubt of organizations that you may have started. Large business firms, as I told Mr. Monahan during his 3 days of making the spiritual exercises. God wants you to use your genius in organization for the Catholic Church. They continue. What must lay associations carefully avoid? Great wisdom. They must carefully avoid dissipation of forces. New associations are not to be formed unless there is a real need. And believe you me, there is a real need for lay associations to restore the faith where it has been lost, to strengthen the faith where it is weak, and to bring those who do not have the true faith into full membership in the Roman Catholic Church. Moreover, still the same answer. The methods followed in one country may need to be adapted because it may not be suitable for another country. Adaptation to the culture, to the language, to the way people think. Because one of my favorite definitions of culture. Culture is the personality of a society. And just as every one of us has persons, remember we define person, I, B equals P, remember? Intelligent individual being equals person. We're all individual. Should I also add, we are individualistic. Well, these associations with the Holy See, there's urging the laity to organize, should have their own specific individuality with such, I repeat, adaptation as may be necessary between not just one country and another, but one part of a country and another. Had a wonderful conversation with Bishop Mansell of Buffalo, New York, last week. In 1 year, the bishop has profoundly, I use the verb, improved the diocese of Buffalo. I tell you this story. Shortly after becoming bishop, he called a meeting of all the catechists in his diocese. And the religious woman, a nun, who was director of religious education in the Diocese of Buffalo. After the bishop gave his talk, she got up. Did I tell you this? She challenged the bishop. She finished her speech, sat down. The bishop, I'm told, smiled. Sister, in the light of what you've just said, I believe I should tell you this. You are no longer director of catechetics in the Buffalo Diocese. So, he was adapting himself to the new situation. Next question. What lay associations should be given special priority? They are the associations which the hierarchy has commended or decided to found as more urgent to meet the needs of the times and places. This pertains especially to international societies of professed Catholics. You know what I may have said on some occasion to some of you. That's in the 50s, my graduate studies in Rome as a priest. Pope Pius XII called a meeting of religious. Several thousand attended the meeting. I should add, in St. Peter's. He told all of us, be sure you don't forget that the Holy See is not just part of the hierarchy. It determines the hierarchy in the whole Catholic Church. The Holy See is the hierarchy. And that is now, my 26th year in working for the Holy See, I cannot tell you how important it is to know what the Holy See wants and then has vowed to obedience to the Holy Father. For me, I never ask, can it be done? Is the money available? All I have to know is, does the Holy Father and the Holy See want it? What I'm sharing with you during this retreat, the Holy Father wants. Now, in terms of priority, speaking for our own nation, the greatest need of lay associations in our country is, and I repeat what I've been saying, to restore, to preserve, and to strengthen the Catholic faith in our nation. I've quoted statistics. I could quote them, I'm not exaggerating, by the hour. Widespread loss of the Catholic faith, and I have to say it, in millions of once believing Catholics. publications. I forbear mentioning them, knowing that we are being recorded. Professor de Catholic, Mother Contents, either week after week or month after month, not only which would be even creditable, but say the fundamentalist Protestants believe is a life after death, believe in a heaven and a hell, believe that Jesus is God. But as you know and I know, Professor de Catholic publications teaching the very opposite of what the Catholic Church has over the centuries had so many martyrs who died for what these learned biblical scholars and theologians are denying. This is the, capital T, capital H, capital E. This is the priority for lay associations in our nation. Next question. What is worthy of special praise in the lay apostolate in our day? Worthy of special respect and praise are the single and married laity who in a definite way put their person and professional competence at the service of the apostolate. The pastors of the church, this means the bishops, are to welcome these lay persons. Welcome them with gratitude and all they can to provide the training, support, and resources which the laity need. How we need good, sound Catholic schools. How we need Catholic colleges and universities. How we need publications on every level of the laity can read. How we need those trained in the medical and legal professions. How they need to learn. See those in the medical profession to learn that human life is sacred from the moment of conception. To destroy that, what is being called fetal life, is murder. I have spoken to groups of Catholic lawyers, Catholic doctors, Catholic teachers. And this, remember, is what the Second Vatican Council is telling the hierarchy to provide the laity with the training, the support, and the resources which you need in order to engage effectively in the lay apostolate. One thing I think I should bring out. There are, as you know, many organizations of the laity, professedly Catholic. But as you and I know, not all these organizations, though Catholic in name, are Catholic in reality. And consequently, first, how I think I need to say this. If you're going to engage successfully and effectively in the lay apostolate, you dare not, I mean this, you dare not give in to discouragement. Over the years, I've told so many people, the favorite temptation of the devil, tempting those people who are most devoted to Jesus Christ, the most zealous, the most eager to advance his kingdom on earth. The favorite temptation of the devil is to discouragement. Read or reread, if you have not read, St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life, written, by the way, for the laity. It's his genius that, as we know, deeply changed Western society. He distinguishes two kinds of temptation. One temptation that you openly resist, if you wish, that you fight. But another temptation you do not openly resist. You ignore. You pay no attention to. And it's here especially, 48 years in the priesthood. The Lord spares me 49 years this coming June the 18th, my birthday. In the name of our Lord, do not be discouraged, first of all, by the chaos that you see in so many places that were once flourishingly Catholic. That, I repeat, is the devil's most effective technique, discouragement of those who love Jesus Christ. Again, if you with God's grace are to engage in the lay apostolate, some of you, thank God, are already involved. Others, not yet. Pardon me, get involved. And I'm not above recommending how. In order to do effective work in the lay apostolate, there must be a deep faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as the living God who became man. And therefore, the opposite of discouragement, great confidence, trust in Jesus Christ. But all this needs to be said. last 12 or so years, I have never truly given a retreat, but even a prolonged lecture. I have never omitted telling the people, if you love Jesus Christ, you must love His cross. Embrace the cross. And with St. Paul, how this needs to be said. For me, nothing else has meaning except Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. That's our weapon. Over the years now, like the Mercedarians, with whom I spent a whole week last week in Buffalo, founded by St. Peter Nolasco. I think I told you, to redeem the captives of the Muslims by offering their own selves in place of these Christians enslaved by the Muslims. Oh, what language I use with the Mercedarians. You must work to convert the Muslims. But Father, you know it's impossible. Don't you dare say that. Of course, the Muslims are militant. Pardon me, so are we. What is their weapon? And Mahava tells them, either convert Christians from the idolatry, adoring a man as though he were God, convert them or kill them. The weapon of Islam for 13 centuries has been the sword. In modern times, well, the weapons of modern warfare. What's our weapon? The cross. Love the cross. No figure of speech this. Embrace the cross. Not because anyone loves pain. The very definition of pain is that which is contrary to the human will. Period.